Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
At Dossett, Big Four, and Tupelo, we do things differently. We believe in honest, fair prices and treating our customers like family. Whether you're looking for a new or used GMC or Buick, we've got you covered. Come on down to Dossett Big Four, where you'll get a great deal without the hassle. That's Dossett Big Four in Tupelo.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi, a special two-hour Thunder and Lightning. Did you know that, Rhino?
You're on your own for the next 7 hours.
I came up with that joke in the 3 o'clock hour of Sports Talk Mississippi. I've just been sitting on it the whole time, waiting on you to show up. Now, Rhino is in Studio X. He is also very much on edge as Team USA will kick off in about 53 minutes in the World Cup knockout round. Who do you hate more, Bosnia or Herzegovina?
Got to go with Bosnia.
I despise the Herzegovinians. I feel like they're a bunch of snobs. Just live in Bosnia. Make it one name. Anyway, we're presented by Dossett Big Four. Guys, if you're in the market right now for a new vehicle, my friends at Dossett Big Four want to come see you. In North Mississippi, Dossett Big Four is the name to know. An incredible selection of vehicles, both new and pre-owned, an award-winning service department, and the friendliest sales staff. Dossett Big Four serving the community up here for over 47 years. You see the number right there on the screen? Visit my friends at Dossett Big Four. Let's start with baseball. We'll delve into that. We got a lot of football talk a little later in the show, but we will start with baseball, and we will start, as we should, in the transfer portal. Been saying for some time now that Mississippi State, looking at their transfer portal class, they needed to find a couple of more arms from the bullpen. So they went out and got one of the top ones in the past day, and that's Thomas Allen, the true freshman out of Louisiana Tech, a guy who can get it up to about 97, 90, a guy that had a lot of success this year at Louisiana Tech, an ERA of 3.54, a whip of 1.014, 49 strikeouts to 15 walks, 48 innings pitched. You only give up 34 hits and 21 runs, 19 of them earned. 3.27 strikeouts per walk. I mean, 3-1 strikeout to walk is really strong. This is one of the most coveted guys in the portal right now. He could have, if you ask around in the last few weeks, people would have said he's going to Ole Miss, he's going to LSU, he's going to Arkansas. The answer is he's going to Mississippi State. And Mississippi State, if you look at the Baseball America freshman All-American team, obviously, this year, Jacob Parker was one of those. State has added three more freshman All-Americans in Brady Cressman, in Josiah Overbeek, and now in Thomas Allen. So not only are you setting yourself up for success this season, you're setting yourself up for a 2028 as well. And I don't know if that was the strategy. In the portal era, you got to think they just go with the best guy available that's willing to commit. But if this was a strategy from Brian O'Connor, it worked. You've got four guys in your roster right now who potentially are top 10, 15, or top 10 round picks for sure, based off what you saw of them as freshmen, and then could be even better than that. I mean, Parker is for sure a first-day guy, a first-round guy, a top 10 guy probably. I didn't even mention Jack Bauer, who, you got to figure he's going to continue to improve. This is a really strong, strong transfer portal class for Mississippi State. And I shouldn't be surprised by it. I shouldn't be, looking at it as surprising. But there is something satisfying about knowing you're putting in the resources and getting the results. And, if you want to make the comment about football, I feel like football has the resources, but I don't feel like they're using them to their fullest extent, and I also feel like the recruiting jobs aren't as good. That's not the case with this baseball program at all. You've got elite recruiters. You've got elite facilities. You have elite resources. You're getting elite players. So that's exciting for Mississippi State. You've done a good job of insulating Parker in the lineup and putting power bats around him. You do have some experienced players coming in that can, you know, come in and give you some leadership. You've got you added a couple of good pieces to your bullpen. You're going to count on your guys to develop another year. You bring back Valinkas, McPherson, Stone, Bauer, Miller, Gleason. Those guys will all get better with another year. It's reason to be excited, for sure. And for me, you know, this is kind of the vision that you had when Brian O'Connor was hired. And if State doesn't lose Ryan McPherson in the middle of the season, this season is probably a little different. Like, the way they were playing against Georgia leads me to believe that if they had been hosting a Super Regional against literally anybody else, they would have advanced into Omaha. They got unlucky with McPherson's injury. And how many teams could do that, by the way? How many teams could lose their Friday night guy and still be a Super Regional team? Still be hosting a regional? There's not a lot. And if they just had a couple more wins, they would have been hosting a Super Regional, or maybe not been at Georgia at the very least. So next year, with the options they're going to have in the rotation and in the bowl, I mean, right now we're in a situation where your midweek starter could be Duke Stone, a guy who was he started every SEC weekend for you as your Sunday guy, and then your Saturday guy, a guy that, you know, was SEC Pitcher of the Week once this year. That could be the guy that you throw out there on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Because if Bauer takes a big step forward, or if this Thomas Allen guy comes in, and I think Thomas Allen comes in this year as a potential bullpen guy, maybe your possible closer, and then you look to him and Bauer to lead your rotation a year from now. But if he, you know, steps up and you got to move Duke Stone, goodness gracious. If Stone is a guy that, you know, you're talking about pitching for you on Tuesday and then come back on the weekend and give you, you know, three or four innings in long relief, or just give you a couple innings in short relief, whatever, that's a luxury that few have. And then on top of that, you know, you've done a good job of replacing the production you lost. You lose Reese and Sullivan, Fry, Chance. Looks like Malewski's going to go. But you've replaced those guys. You know, I feel like Parker steps into the production that Ace Reese was giving you. And then you, between Cressman and Mabius and Overbeek, you're just going to be fine. So, really impressive job by this group. Really impressive job by Brian O'Connor, by Justin Parker, Kevin McMullen, Matt Kirby, that whole gang over there. They've done a fine job. And Mississippi State baseball is in a great place right now. And it looks like it's, you know, this is what Bulldog fans have always wanted baseball to be, is to be a year-in, year-out thing and not have the ups and downs, the hills and valleys they've suffered through. Yes, you've had some great moments, but you think about the last, 5 years or last 10 years of Mississippi State baseball. You had a stretch of 5 straight Super Regionals. You had a stretch with 3 straight Omaha appearances and a national title in there. But then you follow that up with back-to-back years where you didn't even make it to Hoover. And I've said it all along, my standard for Mississippi State baseball is very high, and I don't apologize for that. I expect a down year at Mississippi State to be you're in somebody else's regional. You're a 2 seed. You're the 2 seed that when the 1 seed sees you, they're like, oh, no. We got Mississippi State. Oh, no, I don't want that. That should be the down year. The down year should not be going 26 and 27. That should not be an acceptable number ever at Mississippi State for baseball. So, you know, Zach Selman basically decided that was going to be the case. He's like, I'm going to hire an elite coach. We're going to back him with resources, and he'll do the rest. And, you know, top transfer portal class last year. Super regional team, top portal class this year, combined with what you're bringing back, the expectations are going to be high. I will be, if we are on July 1st, 2027, and that team doesn't make it to Omaha, and they didn't have a like significant injury problems, I'll be on there telling you, like, that's disappointing. That's a disappointing season. I was not disappointed by the season this year. You know, I understood losing McPherson hurt them. It was year one. I was willing to give it a year to see how it goes. They were clearly improved from where they were the past four seasons since the national title. They were clearly a better baseball team. They finished ninth in the Baseball America poll. I felt that was fair. I thought they were the best team that didn't make it to Omaha. You know, the Omaha is always going to get the top eight spots. That's just how the rankings work. Doesn't matter if you, you know, Ole Miss finished eighth, even though Mississippi State was 4-0 against them. That's fine. I have no issue with that. But this next upcoming season, I expect to be in Omaha. I expect to see the Bulldogs in the College World Series. And I will tell you that I'm disappointed if it doesn't happen because they have got a roster to do it. They've got the depth. They've got the pitching. It's all right there for them. So let's change gears and let's look at football when we come back. Don't normally get a lot of positive Mississippi State football news in the middle at the end of June. Not a lot going on usually, but they had some this past weekend. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Dotson Big Four in Tupelo. If you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, go see my friends over on Gloucester Street at Dotson Big Four. Back in just a minute here on Thunder and Lightning Live.
So Ryan and I came to
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hear like the first lyric. Oh man, yeah, I like that. Thunder and Lightning Live. They can make a drinking game out of me saying, starting to say Sports Talk Mississippi when it's Thunder and Lightning Live. I'm Brian Adad. Rhino is in Studio X, just chomping at the bit to get out of here. Are you actually going to leave? You just stay there and watch the game.
Yeah, I'm going to be here in Studio X watching in Studio X for at least the first half.
That's there's no way you can leave. You can't get home and miss the first 20 minutes of the game. No, I would absolutely do what you're doing. So I respect it, to be honest with you. Let's talk football. American football. American college football, that is. Manning Passing Academy, you know it. Every year, selection of quarterbacks go down there. Mississippi State has had sent plenty of guys down there. Dak was there. Fitzgerald was there. Will Rogers has been there. Last year, Blake Chapin was there. And they've all, you know, had their moments, and they've all, you know, done whatever. I don't remember one ever getting the hubbub, the hype that Kamario Taylor has gotten. Tomorrow on the Thunder and Lightning podcast, I'll have an interview with Wilson Alexander of On3 Sports. He was in Thibodeau to watch, and he came away impressed. Everything I've read, there were some eye-popping moments from Kamario Taylor. I read this quote on the podcast. I'll read it again here. This is from Cooper Patangia, covers college football for CBS Sports. Who made you look up from your notebook is the question. Kamario Taylor, and I'm not sure there's a close second. At 6'4" and 230 pounds, the former top 100 prospect from Macon, Mississippi, is a unique athletic specimen. One of the highest-ranked Mississippi State signees of the modern era. Taylor is a fluid athlete with explosive arm strength that was superior to every other passer in attendance. That's something that's a sentiment that Wilson echoes on the podcast tomorrow, that just from an arm strength standpoint, Kamario Taylor stood alone. Taylor unquestionably has the ability to develop into one of college football's most electric playmakers. He can steadily improve as a passer this upcoming season while maintaining the ability to stress defenses with his speed, athleticism, and power as a runner. He made two starts in 2025 and gave Mississippi State fans plenty to be excited about. His future is super bright. You also had Jeff Duncan, who covers the Saints for the Times-Picayune. Used to work for The Athletic. He had some really kind and, high praise for Taylor. I'll read from Jeff Duncan here. The most intriguing quarterback I saw at the MPA skills competition in Thibodaux last night was Kamario Taylor of Mississippi State. Big-time arm, rare athleticism, combined with a 6'4" frame, team-first attitude, and, quote, Mississippi manners, unquote. He's impressive in every way. I mean, when is a Mississippi State, even Dak Prescott, especially when Dak Prescott, the man, got a lot of love. Dak Prescott, the player, got some love. There's no question about that, especially, you know, in that run in his junior year. But as far as preseason hype, never anything like this. Now, that's great. But what does it mean for Mississippi State? Well, I give you this information, I give you this idea as a guy who I'm struggling with my Mississippi State prediction. I really am. Part of me thinks they're just not going to be a lot better, and there's going to be a coaching search. Part of me thinks there's a chance for real improvement, and the kind of improvement that gets you excited about college football again here in Starkville. But if I make an assumption, I'm going to make, and you know, I know what happens when you assume. But with Zach Arnett in charge, I believe the defense will be much improved. If they were an F last year, jumping up to a C would have won games. They will easily do that with Zach Arnett. I believe in that guy. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He's a top-notch defensive coordinator. You've given yourself and bringing Matt Brock in, I think, is a highly underrated move. Because Brock's defense, you know, as bad as 2023 was, it wasn't the defense's fault. When they lost games, it was almost entirely because they could not move the football. Defensively, they were good enough to win a lot more games that year. So I have that. That's half the equation, right? Defensively, they're going to be better. Okay. If I tell you that Kamario Taylor is a good quarterback, if I just get what we talked about on the podcast of the aggregate numbers of a Jeff Lebby quarterback, which is 3,300 yards passing and 400 yards rushing, I would wager a guess that 400 will be much larger with Kamario Taylor, probably closer to 700. Is he around 3,300 yards passing? I don't know. The average Jeff Lebby quarterback has been, though. We're talking about Mackenzie Milton. We're talking about Matt Corral. We're talking about Dylan Gabriel. And then we're talking about the last 2 years at Mississippi State, where the passing yards have been the lowest of any offense that Lebby has ever coached. But if I get above average quarterback play with an improved defense, and in that statement, above average quarterback play, I have to assume the offensive line is improved, right? To get that kind of play, to get above average quarterback play, to get the kind of numbers I'm talking about, the offensive line has got to be improved. If I get those three things, it's going to be really tough for State not to be much better. And we're talking about real improvement. We're not talking about 6-6 or 7-5. We're talking about possibly winning 8 games and being a team that's a thorn in the side of the teams that they lose to. None of those games being blowouts. Kamario keeping you in, the defense keeping you in those games the whole way. Now, those are big ifs. Don't get me wrong. Going to be tough to do that. Because I don't know about that offensive line, and I'm not going to know about it until we get to the first game. I believe in Zach Arnett, but I'm not going to know until I get to the first game. It's for a game against a bottom-of-the-shelf Sun Belt team. You know, and ULM is one of the lowest-ranked teams in college football. I feel like we're going to learn a lot about Mississippi State right off the bat. I feel like if you watch that game, you go back and watch the first game of Lebby's tenure against Eastern Kentucky. State struggled running the football in that game. They struggled to protect Chapin at times. Defensively, they didn't get a lot of pressure on Eastern Kentucky's quarterback. Walking away from that, in hindsight, I should have been like, this team's not any good. They're not good enough on the line of scrimmage. I feel like I'm going to be able to make that same judgment, and this time I'm prepared for it, right? I'm not blinded by the bells and whistles of Jeff Lebby's hire and score from far and all that. I know what to expect. I know what to look for. And if Mississippi State against ULM isn't a 200-plus yard day on the ground, if ULM is able to pressure Kamario Taylor, not necessarily get sacks, but just pressure, if State doesn't have 2 or 3 sacks against the ULM offensive line, that's a bad sign, guys. That's a red flag right off the bat. But the opposite is true, obviously. If State goes out there and they dominate the game and they run the ball at will and they put pressure on ULM's quarterback, I can walk away saying, all right, they look better than they did at any point last year. Go back and watch the USM game. State struggled to run the football in that game. They had trouble protecting Blake Chapin in that game. And, you know, the rest of the way, it was kind of like that. They would have some moments of being able to run the football. They had some moments where they could protect, but by and large, they couldn't. So we're going to find, I really do think that first game is going to tell us a lot about this Mississippi State football team. More so than you would think against an opponent like ULM. You see a game like that on the schedule, you're like, all right, well, it is what it is. We're not going to know anything about this team. I disagree. And you could know a lot about Kamario Taylor, too. If Taylor goes out there and is just absolutely dominant, 250, 260 passing yards, 120, 130 rushing yards, 4 or 5 touchdowns, great. That's good news. He struggles? It's not good. That's the second best. That's the second worst team you're playing all year. The next week you're on the road at a Big Ten team. The week after that you're on the road at an SEC team. Week after that, you're at home against an SEC team. You've got the pressure on. Part of me thinks that this team is going to be improved, but the bigger part of me, and the part of me that's watched these last 2 years, is just concerned that they haven't recruited the difference makers they need on the line of scrimmage, that Jeff Lebby hasn't grown enough as a head coach, and that it's just, you know, the schedule is just so difficult. The schedule being difficult is you're an SEC team. That's what you sign up for. It's going to be that way. But don't for 1 second think this isn't a very difficult schedule. I'm torn. I really am torn on which way to go with my prediction. If you made me do it right now, I probably would not be happy with the decision I made. I'm glad I have. You know, if you listen to the podcast, you know, we do these week to week. I've got another, 7 weeks, 8 weeks before I have to make that decision. So I'm glad because I need the time. I absolutely need it. So I love the patriotic music today. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Who is singing this one?
I think this one is, let me double check. Yeah, Testament of Steel.
I can't say that I've ever heard a Testament of Steel song before this moment in time. So let's go with that. All right, we'll stay on football when we come back. Talk a little bit about some recruiting that's going on. Maybe some things turning in the right direction for Mississippi State. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Attention.
Things happening here in the state.
And Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi, as we edge closer and closer to kickoff of the United States of America. America versus Bosnia and Herzegovina. Whoever heard of them? They ain't played nobody in the knockout round of the World Cup. Borky got really mad at me earlier, Rhino. I was telling him, like, man, every game in this knockout round except for the Mexico-Ecuador game has just been a banger. There have been late equalizers and late winners and penalty shootouts. And Porky was just like, shut up. Like, shut up. It's like, I thought he was actually mad for a second. And I was like, oh, wait, I get it now. The Americans are about to play. He doesn't want any of that drama. I get it. Some drama on the recruiting trail. Let's dive into it. Couple of commitments this week for Mississippi State. On Monday, they got a flip. I got to come up with a flip sound. Rhino, we got to figure something out for that. But Tupelo linebacker Devontre Brewer was committed to Stanford University. flips his commitment to Mississippi State. I actually got a chance to speak with that young man. That interview is available on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. Check that out. It's a short conversation. I mean, he's a 17-year-old kid. I didn't expect it to be a 20-minute long deal or anything, but talked about why he made that choice and why, you know, what excites him about playing for Mississippi State and playing for Zach Arnett. And, you know, for Mississippi State, a team that kind of really needs something to happen for them in state, getting one of the better players in the state in the boat is probably a pretty good deal for them. So that's good. And then today, Rivals ran a commitment day special where they had a number of highly rated prospects make their commitments live on YouTube, including a Mississippi player, Kylan Bobo, the running back from Tupelo High School. He committed to Colorado today. Colorado just doing whatever they can to get some recruits wherever they can get a foothold. So we'll see. You know, good luck to the young man. We'll see if that commitment holds up. But Mississippi State picked up a commitment from Jaden Bayonne, 6 foot three and a half, 295-pound defensive tackle, four-star defensive tackle from Alexandria, Louisiana. Now, we've talked about defensive line recruiting recently and how, you know, you had three guys in this state, three four-star guys. State's missed out on all of them at this point, right? Two of them are committed to Ole Miss. One's committed to Florida State. So getting a highly recruited four-star defensive lineman into the boat was a must for Mississippi State. They have not signed one, and he hasn't signed yet, obviously. But they have not signed a four-star defensive lineman since 2022. That was Trevion Williams. And, you know, we talk about it all the time. This is the University of Fletcher Cox and Preston Smith, Jeff Simmons, Chris Jones, Montez Sweat, Danico Autry, guys who have played a lot of football, made hundreds of millions of dollars in the NFL. And for Mississippi State to just fall on hard times like this from a recruiting perspective at that position, it's unacceptable is probably the correct word for it. So good to see them go and get a guy who at least fits the bill of the kind of a prospect you want to get. Here's what I've decided about recruiting. And I've been thinking about this a lot. You know, we had a long conversation about that here last week here and on Sports Talk Mississippi where, you know, what's wrong with Mississippi State's recruiting and, you know, why aren't they doing better? And everybody wants to throw out their reasons for it. And some of them are realistic and some of them aren't. But I recall a season, you know, last signing day where Mississippi State, towards the end of the commitment, was able to flip one of the top prospects in the state in Braylon Womack. Flip another top prospect in Micah Nickerson, flipped another couple of guys from Michigan State and from Florida State. They had a really good last push on signing day. And, you know, for Mississippi State, that's a different scenario. For State, for years, was a team that was always getting flipped on signing day. You know, Houston Nutt and Hugh Freeze and then Lane Kiffin made a little bit of a habit out of it. And, you know, Lebby has done a good job of shoring that up. If I got to be critical of Lebby when I am, I got to be, you know, positive when I can be. And that is one thing he has done is, for the most part, he has been able to keep the guys in the class and go out and get guys from other classes. That's not something that Mississippi State has specialized in through the years. So I'm going to hold judgment. And look, at the end of the day, if State's not good this year, it won't be Jeff Lebby making these decisions anyway. So it's not a big deal. But if Lebby has a good season, is able to move forward, is able to build some positive momentum, you've got Kamario Taylor, a guy players are going to want to play with, then I'm willing to wait it out and see what happens in December. Because what happened? At this time last year, Mississippi State had the worst recruiting class in the conference. They finished in the top 25. Now, is that good enough to get them over the hump into the next level? Probably not. But it is a start. You got some good pieces in there. Right now, guess where they're ranked? Dead last in the SEC. They're 16th out of 16. They do have, you know, three four-star guys committed, and they have a couple other guys that are the high three stars that with a good season they could find their way up. But we're gonna wait this one out, boys and girls. So would it make you feel any better if Lebby got called out by another coach for poaching? It's an interesting question. Like, I don't know. It depends on the players. I would feel better if State had better players. So if you told me he's poaching four-star guys from other schools, yeah, I feel great about that. Because I don't really care about the unwritten rules here. It's about winning and losing. They paid Jeff Lebby nearly $5 million a year. He'd like to make more than that. He'd like to make $7, 8, 9 million a year. Well, the only way to do that is to win, and the only way to win is to get players. So I don't really care how you do it. You know, there are no rules. The NCAA isn't doing anything. You can get away with murder at this point. So yeah, I don't. If somebody called out Jeff Lebby the way Dabo Swinney was calling out Pete Golding, fine. What's going to happen? Nothing. He gets suspended against Tennessee Tech. Who cares? You know, these are the kind of things that Zach Selman can't say out loud, that Mark Keenum can't say out loud. I can say them. I don't care. The NCAA rules are irrelevant at this point. Go do what you want. Do what you got to do to get the players in the boat. Make whatever promises you got to make. Spend whatever money you got to spend. Do it. That's my line of thinking. Brian, do you really think State should call Mullen if Lebby gets fired this season? And if yes, do you really think Mullen would come back? I would absolutely call him. Would absolutely call him. Would he want to come back? I don't know the answer to that. When I talked to Mullen a couple years ago, I had him on the podcast to talk about the Egg Bowl. Just when he was still announcing for ESPN, just to get some of his Egg Bowl memories and have a conversation about that. I got the impression that he was interested in the job when they hired Lebby and would have taken it if offered. That's just the impression that I got from that conversation. I could be right. I could be wrong. But for me, I think he would be interested. But at the same time, if he has another big year at UNLV, other jobs are going to come open that want to hire Dan Mullen. So it's going to be like, is it about going home again for him? I don't know the answer to that. So. Why would it bother you? Poaching is not illegal. Correct. It wouldn't. Wouldn't bother me at all. That's the thing, though. The question was, would it make me feel better? Yeah. I feel great if another coach was like, I had this four-star lineman ready to commit to us, and then Mississippi State came in and took him away. Great. Good job. That's what you're supposed to do. State's biggest recruiting problem is the record and Levy's poor decision-making in game situations. Those two things go hand in hand, though. State's record is what it is because of poor decision-making. Better decision-making, and State was 8-4 last year, and we're talking about Mississippi State being a potential playoff team this year. Spend money, especially on the line. Agreed. That's where you got to spend money. You think Dabo would come to State if he leaves Clemson? I don't think Mississippi State would want Dabo Swinney, and they shouldn't. If you're going to talk about hiring a coach who intentionally says, I will not use the transfer portal in the year 2026, you can't be a head football coach anymore. You cannot. Actually, Dan Mullen has a better chance of getting to the playoffs where he is right now than at Mississippi State. True. That is absolutely true. But do you want to get back to the SEC? I don't know. I don't know the answer. Name another university that Dan Mullen might fit that could possibly be looking at other than this thing next year in the SEC. So any university where you want to win is a good fit for Dan Mullen. I'll give you a couple of examples. If Matt Rhule isn't better this year at Nebraska and they decide to move on from him, Mullen would be a fantastic fit there. A guy who can come in and win. Absolutely think he would work there. Just trying to think my way. Any job that opens up, Dan Mullen's a good football coach. So, he was winning at Florida. He had a one down year and they pulled the trigger on him, and look where that got them. So, any program that wants to win, calling Dan Mullen's a great idea because he's a winning football coach. He's a winner. He'll win this year at UNLV. He'll turn Jackson Arnold into a good quarterback. So, yeah, any name another university who wants to win. That's a pretty easy one. All right, when we come back, we'll wrap it up, and then Rhino can lock in for Team USA. Back in just a minute here on Super Talk. It's Thunder and Lightning Live. We'll be right back.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Disturbed?
Scar.
You pull some obscure ones, man. I don't know that. Good stuff. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. The countdown to kickoff is real for the United States and Bosnia-Herzegovina. I've been enjoying all – Rhino, you're a soccer guy, so this isn't directed at you. But I have enjoyed watching everybody else get into soccer these past few weeks. It's been fun. Join us in the fall, in the spring, in the winter, in the early summer. Rhino and I do this. We do this all year long. We're neighbors when it comes to the Premier League. Our clubs. Imagine if Mississippi, not that Chelsea and Fulham have the same rivalry as State and Ole Miss, but imagine if Davis Wade Stadium and Vaught-Hemingway Stadium were, 5 miles apart at that? How far is it? Now you got me curious. How far is it from Stamford Bridge to Craven Cottage? It's a 12-mile drive. A 2-mile drive, I'm sorry. It's a 2-mile drive. So imagine if Davis Wade Stadium was in Oxford on the square. That's how far it would be from Vaught-Hemingway. So join us. We welcome all of our new soccer fans here in Mississippi and around the world. Can you do your Dan Mullen impression talking about poaching players? I got to go out there and get players, and until they sign. I'm perfectly fine. And even if they do sign, what's going to happen? No one's going to talk to me. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to strain. I'm going to get great players. And we're going to win championships. And that's just how it's got to be. What else we got here? Somebody throws in Mullen to Wisconsin is a perfect fit. That's a fantastic choice. Dan Mullen in Wisconsin, that's like peanut butter and jelly. I tell you what, the way he likes to run the football, he'd get them right back to those big old 380-pound, linemen just mashing it down the field. He'd be all over it. Yes, Dan Mullen to Wisconsin is a fantastic fit. Just does not seem like our coach, talking about Lebby, carries himself in a way that makes us truly believe he is truly a winner. It almost seems like a depressed environment. I surely hope Arnett can help with that because he is a fiery type of person. I just do not see that type of fire in the head coach. Lebby has fire to him. I've seen him fired up. I've seen him. I think he's a decent motivator. Lebby's problem is, as we talked about earlier on Sports Talk, he's just not visible. You just don't see enough of him. You don't see him at the forefront of the program and like trying to get everybody on board and trying to rally up fan support. Like I think you should, especially when your record is 7-18. If that record was reversed, we could see Jeff Lebby, once a week. We'd see him at the game, and then you don't see him again. Don't ever have to see him. But you got to build up some support for your team, and I just don't think. And then that's got to come down from higher up as well. You've got to have a system in place where, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to be a part of it because that's your job. Your job is not just to win football games. Your job is to lead this program. And part of that is getting out there and meeting with your fans and meeting with your boosters. The boosters you are asking to not only pay for your salary, pay for your facilities, pay for everything, pay for the players themselves. You're asking them to do this. You got to be visible to these guys. So I talked about that earlier. I wish I could have that moment with there. Mullen with Michigan would be tough. Tough on Ohio State. Michigan was a job I thought he might get at one point. When they hired, did they hire Harbaugh? When did they hire Harbaugh? I don't remember. But I thought coming out of the Gator Bowl where he beat Michigan, then they fired Rich Rodriguez, I thought he might go to Michigan. I really did think that. Why did the people in Oklahoma hate Jeff Lebby? I have no idea. His offenses were great. Like the year after he left, they were terrible offensively. No idea why those people didn't like him. People in Oxford liked him. When State hired him, I heard from 4 or 5 Ole Miss fans who were like, great hire. Now, maybe they were messing with me. That's a possibility. But, I don't know why the people in Oklahoma didn't like Jeff Lebby, because like they were much better offensively the 2 years he was there than they've been the 2 years since he left. Maybe it's just one of those cases where he left and that's just how it was. They just didn't want to like him at that point. So, all right, tomorrow's Sports Talk Mississippi. Michael Borky hopefully will be in a fit of patriotic frenzy after the Americans take down the Bosnians and the Herzegovinians. Rhino, I know you will be feeling the same tomorrow as well. Join us on Sports Talk Mississippi. Join us on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Subscribe if you haven't already. I'll talk to you guys again very, very soon. For Rhino, Captain America, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.